Hello there, TGP. It's Monday, October 18th. This is In the Know, episode 18. October 18th, episode 18. 18-18. That means it's a good day. Few announcements to get started. Sportsville has resumed. It's happening Wednesday nights, 5:30 to 6:30. We always need more people serving in that ministry. Bibleville is happening weekly now. It used to be every other week. Now it's every week, and that's ages 6 and up during the service, during the sermon time. But again, you're always welcome to keep your children with you during that time as well. October 18th, we're having a members meeting right after service. We just need to do some family business and give a financial update, welcome some new members officially, and all of that. So we'll have that right after service is over. I've also been informed that there is a small church hymn sing that is happening on October 18th in the evening. Kevin announced that Sunday. If you need more information about that, reach out to Kevin Williams and he'll give you the skinny. I think it's going to be a good time. October 27th is Fall Festival, and that's going to happen in the evening in lieu of Sportsville. Then the save the dates that I mentioned, January the 7th, 2022 is a women's night of worship, and February 4th and 5th, 2022 is going to be the Abide Women's Conference at NOBTS. Those will both be things that you'll want to be involved in. So if you're interested in letting your intentions to attend those be known, you can talk to Allison Hinsgens for more information. Okay, let's jump into a sermon recap. We're going to do a little bit of history lessons today, just because that's what I've been reading recently in my spare time. So first, I'm going to talk about Franklin Pierce, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and Father Abraham. So I'm currently reading a book about U.S. presidents and their friends who influenced them and helped refine their thinking and thus affected our country while they were in office. Now, these friends weren't officially elected, but they nonetheless exerted influence on the thinking of our presidents and therefore their policies. And it's a fascinating book so far. I just finished reading the chapter on Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, both of whom actually were presidents, but they were also like best friends. And now I'm reading about Franklin Pierce and Nathaniel Hawthorne. In case you were wondering, Franklin Pierce is the president and Nathaniel Hawthorne is his friend, who's arguably more well-known than his friend who lived in the White House for his works of fiction and poetry. So the author of the book traces their friendship from its beginning when they met during their college years. One of the moments in their friendship that Ginsberg, the author, writes about is how Hawthorne visited Pierce in his hometown of Hillsboro, New Hampshire, where they hiked, hunted, and fished together. On the day Hawthorne was leaving, they were hiking and came to a walnut tree. Franklin Pierce got out his pocket knife and carved FP and NH onto a tree as a symbol of their friendship. Now, once they both became prominent figures, tourists would go to that tree in Hillsboro, New Hampshire, just to view it as evidence of their friendship. This tree became a special symbol because it represented a friendship between these two famous men before they were really famous. I think that gives us a little bit of modern day insight into Abraham's planting of the tamarisk tree at Beersheba that happens in Genesis 21. I know this is a bit of speculation since the text doesn't tell us word for word, but I'd wager that for decades after its planting, people could go and might have gone to see that tamarisk tree and the well there in Beersheba, not only as verification of the truthfulness of Abraham's words, but also as a symbol of God's faithfulness and Abraham's worship. It was a memorial site of sorts for Abraham. So just as that One tree represented a friendship between Franklin Pierce and Nathaniel Hawthorne. This tree represented a friendship between Abraham and Yahweh, his everlasting God. If Google is a reliable source, and I know sometimes it's certainly not, tamarisk trees can live 50 to 100 years. This would mean that at least Isaac and Jacob, and depending on how long this particular tree lived, potentially the sons of Israel, who became the fathers of those 12 tribes of Israel, could have visited this tree and seen it for themselves in Beersheba. Either way, whether it lived long enough to be seen and viewed by all those people or not, that doesn't really matter. What we know for sure is that it served as a memorial of God's great and small provision, reminding Abraham and his family, his household, of Yahweh's faithfulness toward him. So let's talk for a moment about small details that really matter. I opened yesterday talking about the Cold War, specifically the buildup of tensions within the Cuban Missile Crisis between Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev and U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Before reading the book about presidents and their friends, I finished last week a book about the Cuban Missile Crisis. One of the small details that ended up really mattering was a simple misunderstanding both of how Western media worked and of the English language. Kennedy had sent a proposal to Khrushchev for a peaceful resolution to the crisis, but Khrushchev delayed his response for a couple of days, deliberating over whether or not he should push for more concessions from the American president. All of a sudden, one of the Soviet ambassadors to the U.S. relayed a wire to Khrushchev that Kennedy was set to broadcast a live message to the United States public in about 8 hours. In Khrushchev's mind, that could only mean one thing: a declaration of war on Cuba and, by association, the Soviet Union. Whether they wanted to or not, the Soviet Union was about to be dragged into war against what they knew was a superior nuclear power, namely the United States of America. Khrushchev, now feeling a heightened sense of urgency, released his own broadcast mere hours later, making known his intention to remove the missiles from Cuba and accept Kennedy's terms. This marked the beginning of a peaceful resolution to this crisis. Now, the minute detail that was that misunderstanding was this: that live broadcast, scheduled for a Sunday morning at 9 a.m., was a rerun of Kennedy's previous address that just updated the public on where they were and on the terms he was asking for from Khrushchev. The Soviet ambassador from a largely atheist country did not realize that most people in the U.S., including the president himself, would be in churches at 9 a.m., and that the president would never make such announcement on national television at that time. There was no declaration of war, nor was there really any desire on the president's part to declare war or invade Cuba. He was trying his best to find a peaceful resolution, a diplomatic resolution, rather than a military one. And they didn't understand the language about this being a rebroadcast, not a live broadcast. Had they fully understood what this was, they might not have felt the urgency to accept Kennedy's proposal. So this tiny detail of misunderstanding ended up mattering a whole lot in the end, and sped up a peaceful resolution to this crisis. And it's kind of like that with Abraham. You see, these small providences, they seem small when compared to things like, I don't know, a miracle baby. But they really do matter in the end for a few reasons. Number one, God's promise about the land and about Abraham's protection are involved in these providences. And so what seem like small providences are actually God fulfilling in concrete ways his promises to Abraham from Genesis 12. And indeed, every one of the tiny details of God's providence is also part of his plan to unite all things in heaven and on earth, and they're part of the counsel of his will. In other words, they may seem like small details, but the details matter to God and are part of his greater plan. So there is much more at stake in Genesis 21 than it might first seem. The last thing I want to mention is just a reminder to count your blessings. So I want to remind you once more to open your eyes and see afresh the kindness of God. My prayer is that as you see the kindnesses of God literally everywhere, you will connect them in your mind to Ephesians 2, verses 7 through 9. They are God's own demonstration of the riches of his grace toward you. Count them as such. Consider how undeserving you are, and then let your heart feel a sense of awe and gratitude over the everlasting God's concern and provision for you in real time. And let all of that lead you to worship. God's gift to us, all of his gifts to us, are ultimately meant to point past themselves to him so that we would worship and glorify him for his marvelous, infinite, matchless grace. Praise God. Praise and worship our gracious God. Have a great week. I love you, people.